May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please take a seat. And I wonder if you've ever received a box of chocolates only to discover they're past their sell-by date. There may be some here who think there's no such thing as a sell-by date when it comes to chocolate, but a couple of years ago, we received a box of luxury handmade chocolates. Not from anyone here, I hasten to add, but from the elegant design and the pink bow, they promised to be truly delicious. Made, no doubt, by un chocolatier. It was that good. But when we opened it, we discovered to our dismay, not only that there were only 8 chocolates in the box, which was bad enough, but that each and every one of them had collapsed and had gone a milky white colour. And from the glitzy look of the packaging, we thought we were going to get something special, but on the inside they were just ruined. Well, we're in Paul's letter to the Romans, and in these early chapters he's been showing us that there are 2 kinds of righteousness. The righteousness that God demands that comes from keeping the law, and the righteousness that God gives as a free gift to those who fail to keep it. And in a kind of hypothetical conversation that's called diatribe, if you like those technical terms, Paul in chapter 1 described first the pagan Gentile who had never had the law of God and who by nature has incurred God's wrath for his wickedness and disobedience. In chapter 2, he speaks to the religious person in general who thinks he's morally okay and passes judgment on all those others, but who hypocritically just does the same things. In today's reading, Paul now turns to address the religious Jew, the religious person in particular, the Jew. And the trouble for the religious Jew, and of course Paul knew what it was to be a religious Jew because he was a Pharisee, one of the ruling Jewish leaders, was that, like our box of chocolates, although he looks rather good on the outside, on the inside, he's just as bad as the pagan Gentiles. You see, what matters to God is the inner life, the heart. So the prophet Jeremiah, looking ahead to the new covenant, promised that God would one day write God's laws onto our hearts. No longer bound to keep an external code, law code, ever fearful of being punished for even the smallest misdemeanor and mistake, or indeed feeling proud for keeping the law, but rather a matter of the Spirit setting us free from the terror of the law to serve God in peace and joy. And so there in verse 17, he's the person who calls himself a Jew, right at the beginning of that passage, if you call yourself a Jew, and who relies on the law as his mode of being right with God. He can brag about his relationship with God because they had Moses and the law. He knows God's will from the law, and of course he's therefore able to act as a moral teacher and instructor for those who don't have the law. But there's the problem in verse 21 to 24. Those rhetorical questions, they too break the law. They commit adultery, they steal, and so on. And so God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles. The Gentile world wasn't stupid. They could see that their behavior didn't really match up to what they said and professed. Now, it's not that God's law was a problem. You know, we must be clear on this. It was the way they were using it. So what are the Ten Commandments for? How do we use God's law? That they were using it as a way to become righteous in God's sight. They were hoping to attain to the righteousness that God demands by keeping the law, rather than the righteousness he gives as a free gift, you see, to those who fail. You see, contrary to popular opinion, obeying God's commandments doesn't make you good. You know the hymn, "There is a green hill far away." Such a beautiful hymn. One of my favourites, and Cecil Alexander captured this idea when she wrote the words, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good." It doesn't say We obeyed God's commands to make us good. He died to make us good. Jesus died precisely for that reason, to justify us, make us right before God. This is the righteousness that God gifts apart from works, apart from law, as a free gift to those who believe. Now, why do you think we recite the commandments each week? I wonder if you've ever thought about it. It's a very good thing to do, of course. Perhaps we should read all 10 of them more often. That's why we did it this morning. But do we read the commandments to make us keep them, or to put us back on track? But it doesn't work, you see. I mean, it hasn't worked for me. It might have worked for you. So why read them? Well, Cranmer put the commandments immediately before the confession in the Book of Common Prayer, and indeed it's in our order of service here, precisely to show us that we have broken God's law. It shows us where we've failed, and it shows us that we need to repent and confess our sins. You could say that the law functions a bit like a powerful torch in a dark cave. When you point it in the right direction, it begins to reveal the nooks and crannies, the spiders and the cobwebs. It shows us how unclean it really is. But the torch can't clean the cave. So the law shows us our need for a saviour to make us good. And again, it needs to be stressed that the problem wasn't the law itself. It was the way it was being used to make themselves good. Which brings Paul to the issue of circumcision, the outward mark of being a member of God's covenant people. And what Paul says in verse 25 must have sounded quite shocking. Did you pick up this nuance here? Verse 25. Circumcision, being a Jew, has value if you observe the law. But if you break the law, you've become as though you had not been circumcised. So if a Jew breaks the law, in God's eyes, he's just like a Gentile. Outward ritual, outward appearance, without faith is empty. Not only that, look at verse 26, it sort of goes a bit further. If a Gentile keeps the law, he's regarded by God as a Jew, without being circumcised. And it goes on, a man is not a Jew if he is one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. So when we say, God, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee, that's what's going on. We're not ticking the box as we see them written up there, are we? But it's from inside that the change. You see, trying to keep the law as a way of staying friends with God is like having a shower. You might look clean and healthy on the outside, but it's the inner life that matters to God. The heart needs to change. It needs to be circumcised by the Spirit of God, a spiritual circumcision, and that's the promise for believers that God's Spirit will cleanse us from all sin. What liberation and joy is there in that? And along the road, there's you'll have seen an old water pump from which they used to get their water. If the water became infected, it was no good giving the pump a lick of paint. The old rusty water on the inside needs to be flushed out completely and replaced with fresh, living water. And so you may be wondering as we read through Romans what hope there is for anyone, but it won't be long before Paul describes the other kind of righteousness that comes from God apart from the law and elaborates on that as a free gift that's not earned or deserved or merited, but by faith through Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit who cleanses us within and gives us a new heart and a new start to serve the living God as we walk in the Spirit apart from the law. God, our Father, we pray that we would absorb these amazing truths, that we would submit and bow to your mercy and grace, that free gift that we don't deserve and cannot earn in our own sinfulness. Help us to be ruthlessly honest with the state of our own hearts and bow before Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.